How's everybody feeling after that one? Interesting way to close out the season at home. Less than ideal is, I think, the best way to put it after the Kraken fall 3-1 to the San Jose Sharks on Fan Appreciation Night, last home game of season three. Got 50 shots on goal. I'm sure we're going to talk about that. I actually already see some stuff in chat about that. So we will, we'll definitely get into all that stuff. There was definitely some positive takeaways from this one, including to see, you know, potentially most likely Shane Wright for the last time this season with the Kraken. We'll talk about that. Good to see Ryan Winterton still in the lineup and playing well tonight. So there's still some good stuff to talk about, but yeah, it was something. See, Afra's already given up. She's just like, yeah, no, this is that's it for me. She's dipping. Of course, I want to start off by thanking Flatstick Pub for sponsoring Post Game Live like they have all season long. And it was Kraken Fan Appreciation. I want to take another moment just to appreciate all of the wonderful community members who came out to Flatstick last week for the live watch party. I know I talked about it already, you know, the last post game. But again, it meant so much to see so many of you, to meet so many of you, to have the support from all of you, to get the Chex Mix and the Gatorade and all of that great stuff. Like it really, really made a huge impact on me because I don't get to experience that all the time being down here in Southern California. And so to be able to be up there and watch a game with everybody, it really, really meant a lot to me. And I just want to say thank you one more time to everybody for that. And thanks to Flatstick for providing the space and the venue and the wonderful time. All right, let's jump in. Nicole kicking us off with just ouch. I mean, that basically sums it up. I think we could close out post game with just that, right? This was a tough one. I mean, the Kraken played well. This was not like a lack of effort style thing. What is it about the San Jose Sharks? What is it about this team that we have just struggled year after year to beat them consistently? I don't understand. I don't understand what it is, but the Sharks just always seem to have our number, and there's just not much we could do about that, unfortunately. Oh, but it's frustrating. It's frustrating. And on a night like tonight, where you get 50 shots on goal, and Cooley, I mean, just in incredible performance. Like, we got to call it for what it is. He was fantastic, Devin Cooley, in net for the San Jose Sharks. Like, yeah, we've talked in the past about getting goalied and all of that kind of stuff, but to make 49 saves, some big ones too, especially early on. Like, the Kraken tried to assert themselves early in this one. I mean, they got the first, I think, 4 shots on goal. They got 20 shots in the first period. Like, the Kraken really came out of the gate and they were cooking, and they didn't really let up throughout the rest of the game either. He had a hell of a game. And sometimes that just happens in hockey. It just, yeah, it feels like it happens to us a lot. Schultz, that's Kraken hockey in season 3, baby. Unfortunately, I thought we were past that with Shane Wright in the lineup. I didn't think this could still happen. Dib, 50 shots, hot goalie, tough. It is. I mean, that is just, you do everything right. Kraken did everything right. They got the 50 shots. Like I said, they asserted themselves. They came out of the gate hot. They were pressuring. They were going to the net. I felt like more guys were kind of joining Shane Wright in going to the net, going to the slot, trying to manufacture goals, trying to get involved in with some of the magic that Shane Wright's been cooking for the Kraken. And it just didn't matter. It just didn't matter because Devin Cooley was just always going to be there, whether he was having to dive across the crease, play up top, super aggressive, control, you know, magically, you know, suck in a rebound. Like, I don't know. It was just nuts to me the amount of times that the puck was loose in and around the crease, and it was just always took the exact wrong bounce for the Kraken. It was tough. It was definitely tough to agree with you there. B, Sai, so much for Fan Appreciation Night. I still hope that everybody had a good time there. I know there was a ton of people there. I'm sure we'll hear from people hopping in chat if we haven't already. I still hope that everybody had a good time, despite the fact that this is what happened. I mean, like, hey, we haven't talked about it yet, but like, silver lining. We were just talking on the pod yesterday. Kraken were winning too many games. It was destroying their draft position. This helps, maybe. But I still hope that the Kraken were able to do a lot for everybody there. It was nice to see the place so full When they were doing like the hoist the colors and everything. I mean, it was really, really fun to see that. I know they were playing fun videos and stuff like for everything that had happened this season. So I still hope that everybody who was able to attend the game had a good time at the game. Just having all of that and being around the community live to watch the game for one last time this season, even if the season has been a little rough. Stacy, who even was that guy though? That's what I'm saying. He's done a heck of a job since coming in for the Sharks. I mean, Devin Cooley, he's putting in work. It's nice to see. Very happy for him. And I know there was like some fun videos of like his family not that long ago when he came in and was making his first start and stuff. So like I said, it was a heck of a performance. You got to give it to him. It's just, I hope we don't have to face him again next year. That's for sure. Wright looked awesome though. Some hope for next year. Yes, Shane Wright continued to look really well, really good. I was really happy to see just kind of the continued evolution of him. So we've talked a lot about his net front presence, his ability to go to the areas of the ice that the Kraken haven't always gone to, and how much success he's been able to have personally by doing that. And then also maybe some of the trickle down effect through the rest of the lineup, which I think we saw tonight a little bit more. I want to highlight, though, for me, with about 10 minutes left in the third period, when he drew the penalty that set the Kraken on the power play there, where he got taken down from behind. But that whole sequence, the way he collects the puck in the neutral zone, gets going with speed. I mean, he skates into that. He reaches out for it. His legs are already pushing. Like, he knows he wants to collect this puck, move with speed. He does. He's able to beat the defenseman with speed, which was really important. I liked that he went in along the boards, but he was not going to let himself just kind of run out of runway there, right? He knew he had a speed edge on the defenseman. And so what does he do? He protects the puck. He didn't end up needing to, but he puts one hand on his stick a little bit lower down. He leaves out his free hand and he holds it out so that he can make sure. There we go. He holds it out so that he makes sure that he can use that as a buffer to fend off the defenseman. If the defenseman comes in and tries to get physical with him, comes in, tries to disrupt him, he made sure he was going to protect that puck and he was going to have inside position. And that's what he did. And then the defenseman did arguably the smartest thing that he could in that situation, which is just take him down, take the penalty, because otherwise Shane Wright was going to bully past him and go straight at Devin Cooley, get a shot off, probably get a chance at a rebound too, just because how big and physical Shane Wright can be in and around the crease. It was a fantastic sequence from Shane Wright, just the way he collected that puck, the controlled zone entry, fights for inside position, wins the battle, forces the defender to draw a penalty. And even after the penalty's drawn and Shane Wright's down on the ground, he still throws it net front for a streaking Jared McCann, right? Like, Shane Wright still makes a great play even after he's drawn the penalty and put in all of the hard work that he's put in on that sequence. That was just an incredible series of events for Shane Wright that shows he just has such smart instincts. Right, his instincts are just so good to play this game, and it's just something that the Kraken have not had really from anybody else in the past. Right, we have not seen a guy play that way before wearing a Kraken sweater, and that was really, really cool to see. And it definitely got me excited for him in a completely different way than what we've already seen from him for next season. So I'm really, really happy about that. Light with the super chat. So sad the home fans didn't get this. This was the definition of doing everything they can but score a goal. Effort was there, I guess. Go Team Tank. We do unfortunately have to be on Team Tank. That is the situation right now. I mean, we can still root for wins and just know that on nights like tonight, when it doesn't happen, you get the benefit of it helping the draft position for the Kraken. Yeah, it is sad for the home fans. Like I said, I hope everybody who attended this game, which I know was a lot of people, were able to have a good time. I'm sure despite the result, you know, you would have been able to. You saw one of the better games from the Kraken this year, right? 50 shots on goal. I mean, this was one of the better games the Kraken have played this year. It just was a hockey game. and bounces didn't go their way. You face a tough goaltender. These things just happen in this sport. And it's just, it's unfortunate that it had to happen tonight and against the San Jose Sharks of all teams, the team you'd least expect, right? I guess when you least expect it, expect it. And that's the way, what kind of happened with the Sharks here. But I'm with you. Like, they did everything that they could. They did everything right. They played the right way. They were a really good team. They were the better team tonight. The dominoes didn't fall in the right way for them. It's just the bottom line. But thanks for the super chat there. Stephanie Cooley needs to cool down a bit. 49 saves. Dang. It's a lot of saves. I mean, it's a ton of saves. B, truly season 3 in a nutshell. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stretches this year earlier in the year where the Kraken were playing well and they just weren't getting any of the luck. They weren't getting any puck luck. And this very much reminded me of a lot of games back in October and November, for sure. George, losing to San Jose at home on Fan Appreciation Night is just such a fitting end to the season. It is. I don't want to sound like too much of a downer, but it is. And I obviously we're all on the same page here because everybody keeps mentioning, but yes, it was kind of a fitting conclusion to season 3. Maddie, going to be watching Devin Cooley next year. That dude's insane. Yes, he played a fantastic game in this one. Like that was some incredible goaltending. A lot of it was desperation stuff. Like, I don't know how much he'd be able to keep up that pace and ability through multiple games, but this was definitely an all-timer and one that I'm sure he is going to remember for a very, very long time, and possible the Kraken are going to remember for a very, very long time too. Ryan, change in leadership is needed. Next 2 years is pivotal for franchise before Sonics return. I agree with you. I mean, we don't have like an official timeline for the Sonics, but certainly for the Kraken to kind of find a little bit more of a consistent footing would be nice before there's an NBA franchise playing in the same building. We've gone over in the past kind of what having an NBA team is going to mean for the Kraken, particularly if it's going to have the same ownership group and everything. So I'm with you, right? Like, there needs to be a little bit more consistency. I think some of the change in leadership is already occurring. I think that's already kind of happening, at least from a player perspective. We talked about this on the podcast yesterday, but Shane Wright has already kind of got the guys behaving differently, just in the way that he does things, the way he kind of likes to take charge, the way he wants to communicate with each other, with his other players, with his coaches. He starts the ball rolling, right? A lot of times, how many times you've been in that situation where you're somewhere, or you think back to your school days and everybody's just kind of maybe like just talking to like their one friend, right? And that's kind of it, but there's not really like a larger class dynamic. And then one person comes in and they kickstart it, right? However they do, they just kind of get it going, whether they bounce from group to group, kind of just dropping in, or they ask the whole room a question or something like that. But one person can kind of kickstart it, and then the next thing you know, that larger group of people, you're all involved in the conversation, you're all doing an activity together, right? Like, all of a sudden it feels like more of a community or more of a group thing rather than just kind of like these individual pockets. That's what Shane Wright's done to this Kraken team, at least from what we can see, right? I mean, I'm not up there, I'm not in the locker room, and we're obviously not in the locker room most of the time, even when we are there. But just watching them communicate more on the bench, watching them communicate more during the videos I've seen, like for warmups even, and I'm sure in practices and morning skates it's been that way, because that's the way he is at Coachella Valley, and I see no reason why he wouldn't be that way with the Kraken. So I think that is a big deal, because when you feel like more of a team, you do play harder. And that's just something athletes across all sports, all team sports, will tell you. And I think that is something that Shane Wright brought to this team, was a little bit more communication. It upped that effort level just that little bit more, because everybody feels like they're playing together and they want to play for each other. And so I do think that some of that is coming, Ryan, next season, just by having Shane Wright around full time. And I'm really, really excited for it. Edward, what is this? I don't even... For Edward to be speechless, everybody, that is saying something. That is the power of a Devin Cooley 49 save performance, I guess. Sam, the scriptwriter here, must be a massive Justin Timberlake fan. What goes around comes around. That's good. That is good. Schultz with the super chat. Was that Hacks last time on the home CPA bench? That is an interesting question, Schultz. I'm leaning towards no. I mean, was this his last time? Yeah, I'm leaning towards no. I think he's going to be back next season. I think, look, the team played well. If this was another one where you let like the Sharks outshoot you and the team was just terrible and abysmal on fan appreciation night, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I might be a little bit more 50-50. But I think the way the team has played down the stretch, I know they've only really been beating up all these really bad teams, so it doesn't seem that great. But I think just the fact that Shane Wright's come in and proven some of the concepts that Dave Hakstol has wanted to have this year, I think that's going to buy him time next year to work with Shane Wright, to have Shane Wright on the roster, to have him in there to build around and to utilize and to, you know, play a bunch of minutes and all of that stuff. And I think it's also going to trigger Ron Francis to make certain moves in the offseason, knowing that he has Shane Wright, who's going to be able to perform next year at a high level, who's going to be able to have top 6 minutes, right? That allows Ron Francis on the general managing side of things to approach free agency a little bit different, knowing that Shane Wright's there, knowing that Logan Morrison looks comfortable, knowing that Ryan Winterton looks comfortable. Like, all of a sudden, he knows a lot more about this roster and about what he needs to do in the offseason. And I think that also is going to lead him to think that, I got to give Dave Hakstol then another chance with the group that I'm going to be bringing in, with what the longer term plan is. We've talked about it before. If they start off slow next year, yeah, there's really no excuse at that point. Like, the results will just have been what they've been, and I think Dave Hakstol will go. But I think Shane Wright proving what he's been able to prove and backing up things like the triangle offense that Dave Hakstol wants to run, and the fact that, look, the Kraken have just been bad about getting to the interior. Now, if Hakstol hasn't been wanting them to go to the interior, then that's a problem. But it doesn't look that way with Shane Wright out there, or with like Logan Morrison even at times playing in the middle there. So I think we're going to see Dave Hakstol again for the start of next season. That would be my take on this one. Let's see. This loss reminded me a lot of the San Jose loss going into the All-Star break. Really wanted it and back then needed it. Same result from Dib. I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly, by the way. Yeah, it's kind of like that. I mean, that one was the Kraken were struggling and they couldn't quite get anything going in that game. Like, that game was, I believe, scoreless until the third period, if I'm not wrong. And it was just kind of like they just couldn't get anything going. This one, the Kraken were able to get stuff going. They just weren't ever able to beat Cooley. And it just kind of stunk like that they couldn't do that, unfortunately. So it's a little bit different. But again, it's just the fact that, right, fan appreciation night year one, I think the Sharks were in the building for that. And I think, did they beat us? And then like last year, we had a tough loss to the Sharks in San Jose. That game was really, really tough. Earlier this year, the game in San Jose, this game. I mean, there's just something about the San Jose Sharks that for whatever reason, the Kraken cannot get past. And it's just, it's tough because not only are they in the division, there's obviously like kind of the tech rivalry between the two cities, but the Sharks are terrible. Like, of all the teams for you to struggle with, you're going to pick the team that's like actively the worst. That's it just adds like this other level to it. Unfortunately, Christian, 50 shots on goal, bummer. Props to Cooley. Looked like a great time at CPA for the last home game and fan appreciation. Anyway, agreed. It looked fun. Like I said, I hope everybody had fun. Fire Ren, the Firebirds literally scored more in 3 of their 4 games against Cooley last year. To be fair, he didn't look like that. Yeah, even at the NHL level, I was looking at his previous starts. He has not looked like that at the NHL level either. This was very much the game of his life, and he just happened to have it against us. I know we've joked about that in the past with the Kraken. Everybody seems to have the game of their life. We really saw that tonight. Alan got goalied bad. Effort was there, but Cooley was impossibly good tonight. Hate it. It was tough. Maddie Dillon to Seattle 2025. I'm not gonna lie, the flat stick watch party really got I think I'm on board with that. I think I am, if I could make it work. But yes, like it was like that great of an experience that is, I was like, yeah, no, I need to be up here, I think. Ben, this game hurt me a lot. I mean, we know the Kraken beat Sharks a few weeks ago, but dang, lost today hurt me. It was tough. It was tough, Ben. I totally understand where you're coming from. I really do. JMG Joey was voted fan favorite. Okay, awesome, cool. So we're gonna get, yes, I forgot that we're gonna get a lot of the team award stuff tonight. That is good to know. So yeah, anybody who has that stuff, feel free to put it in here. Christian, tough watching the fan awards and team fee sheet. They look so disappointed at the loss. Oh well, I guess that takes away a little bit of what I was just kind of getting excited about. Yeah, I mean, I get it, right? Like, that's tough. It is tough for them, I'm sure. Stephanie, at least I was there for the first Joey Chant and CPA memories for this year. Yeah, I mean, there's still tons of positive memories. The Winter Classic, the whole experience around that, the shutout for Joey, that incredible run Joey had where he was a top five goaltender in the NHL, right? The team, Shane Wright coming in. I mean, there's still plenty of positive memories and takeaways from this year. And there's still 4 games left. We're still not done. We're just done at home. Edward, I was hoping to see the Kraken play spoiler. Just didn't expect it to be against the team that could clinch 32nd place. There it is, Edward, coming through. Yes, I mean, that's depressing. But at the same time, that is pretty darn funny. It is. Yes, we did play spoiler. We kept the Sharks from clinching dead last and the best odds at Macklin Celebrini. Way to go. Macklin Celebrini, you lost earlier, by the way. If anybody was watching that, that was a really good Frozen 4 game. Not without its controversy, too. let's see. Just left the arena. What a brutal experience. Fun time with everything outside the game, though. That's good. That's good. Like I said, I like the fact that there's some good stuff. Lindsay, I've attended all 3 fan appreciation nights and definitely did not feel appreciated tonight. Lindsay, you were even in the building, Lindsay. Well, come on. Your magic wasn't enough to get past Devin Cooley, unfortunately. Oh, it's, yeah. But let's see. Viren, is McCann too flexible for his own good? I know he's maybe been injured, but leading scorer at 4C is not ideal. You are correct. That is not ideal at all. That is something that they're going to have to figure out for next season, because you're going to need him somehow involved in the top 6. If Matty Beniers is going to stay in the top 6 as one of your centers, if Shane Wright's going to come in and be a center in the top 6, then McCann's going to have to play on the wing of one of those two guys. Most likely it'll be with Matty Beniers. They already kind of have some experience together, and certainly based off of the returns this year, you're going to probably stick with Jaden Schwartz Jordan Eberle. Oh, the Jareds and Jordans and the Schwartz and the Schultz and all of that. You're probably going to go ahead and leave them with Shane Wright. So that would lead me to think that Matty is going to have McCann on one side and somebody on the other. You'll figure that out through training camp and all of that stuff, whether it's Bjorkstrand, whether it's Burakovsky, one of those guys is going to be up there probably. Maybe it's an offseason addition too. I mean, that's still possible. And then you'll have Yanni Gourde as your 3C, and, you know, I would really consider Logan Morrison as 4C for next year, but I'm 1,000% with you, Viren. That's the kind of thing you can kind of do because you're out of the playoff picture. You're trying to play young guys. You're trying to see what you have for the rest of the lineup, Shane Wright, all of that kind of stuff. But next year, it's ridiculous if you have a 40 goal guy as your fourth line center and playing. I mean, what did he play tonight? 15, 14. I know Hextall likes to keep the time on ice even, but like Jared McCann gets PK work and power play time. And that's boosting that 15 minutes. That's still pretty low compared to everybody else's time on ice in this one. And that's with him playing both special teams. So yeah, now I'm right there with you. That is something that they're going to need to do next year for sure. Let's see. Carlos, got to see Devin Cooley get his first win in San Jose last week as well. Saw his family on the concourse after the game. They were besides themselves with joy. Love to see the local kid do well. Yes, I mean, that is definitely good stuff. For sure. I'm happy to see that. Sam, okay, so the Fielder Award went to Schwartz. Muldoon Award went to McCann. Interesting. Interesting. Fan favorite and 3 stars award, Joey. Deserving winners, or were there any snubs? Well, I'm sure a lot of people in here have already commented on that because I'm a little bit behind. The Muldoon Award, that's the media one, right? Like, that's the one I voted on. I'm McCann. Interesting, especially given the people that I talked with. That's very interesting. I mean, fan favorite and 3-star award for Joey, like that's for sure. Like that should 1,000% be it. The other one though, that is very interesting. Interesting. Food for thought. The Markcast fan appreciation night. My butt. I hope this $10 crossbody bad distracts you from this failure of a season. Sorry, guys. I mean, get it out. That is what the space is for. I mean, I hope the bag is good. Like that is something. It's a pretty good giveaway, actually. Like I'll give you that. But yes, this was a tough one. It was a tough one. I definitely understand people having that reaction. Coop, I get the goalie had a bunch of saves and I could appreciate the effort it takes to put up 50 shots, but this team's shooting and finishing is so darn frustrating. So many shots straight into pads, a couple wide open chances missed really hurts. Yeah, I don't think if you give Jordan Eberle that opportunity 10 more times, he probably makes 9 of those 10, right? Like when he has that kind of yawning cage and just puts it a little bit too much in the corner and it misses the net. I mean, I was really shocked that he missed that one. I was ready for the goal. I was like, oh, okay, here we go. Especially because he had the time to really like load it up and do it well. It wasn't like he just had to like throw it along the ground. There was some issues like that. And like I said, there was a lot of loose pucks in the crease that they just weren't the first team to get to. They had bodies net front, which was really great to see because earlier this year, that would not have been the case. Like those loose pucks would have been cleared or frozen very easily by the other team. Tonight, they had to fight for him. The Sharks had to fight for him. It just felt like they always took the exact wrong bounce so that they always ended up in front of a Sharks player instead of a Kraken player. That's the element of it that is just, it's random. And for whatever reason, hockey just has games like that. Let's see, Ricky, Joey keeps the season from being a failure. Grade D plus. Oh, we're going to have to. Yes, that's right. We're going to have to be doing grades here soon. Oh, it's going to be an interesting one. It's going to be an interesting one. Not going to lie. Nicole, I really don't want to deal with Cooley next season. Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that either. Like I said, this was very much an outlier game for him. There's that. And we just hope that it stays that way. that's it. Oh man. Cody, quick take. The sea and red glare thing during the anthem is almost identical to what Calgary has been doing for years before the Kraken ever existed. Wondering thoughts on this. That is true. I mean, there's lots of teams that certainly do the, the whole crowd chants out something, during the national anthem, Calgary having the sea makes sense. Right. I do think at some point that it needs to be settled on one. Cause then you also have like the Everett fans that throw in the fight, right? Like, so you can't have three things. That's kind of ridiculous in my opinion anyway. They got to settle on one. I know the fans very much want the red glare. The players, at least as of last year, did not like red glare. They very much wanted the C at the beginning. I think just for the purposes of it, the C is way too early in the song, right? You're talking about like at the very beginning of the song. You want to build to that moment where the fans come in. For me personally, I think the red glare is uniquely Kraken because of the whole red eye on your jersey. And I think it also like where it is in the song, like I feel like it's a very kind of appropriate time for the fans to be involved and the passion to be there. I don't know what the issue is that the players supposedly have with it. It's that's the story that we have been consistently told when it's been brought up. So, but you know, maybe as there's more and more turnover on the roster that will change and eventually they'll be able to settle on something. But I still think the Kraken need to kind of settle on something. It needs to just be one thing. That's that in my opinion. And I personally think it should be red glare. Sam, good thing the Firebirds clinched their division. We know Shane's going back soon, and if Lomo and Winterton aren't going to get consistent looks on the final road trip, they should send them down too. My guess is the way they've been doing it, I think they are going to get consistent looks. I wonder, although they probably wanted to get Jared McCann in there, but I also did wonder how much of Logan Morrison being out tonight was just because of how beat up he got last game, right? Blocking all of those shots. I mean, he looked like he was in a lot of pain on that one sequence, so I do wonder if that's maybe why we didn't see Logan Morrison tonight. Because I think there's other guys that you could start working out of the lineup to make sure you could always have the two of them in. You could bump McCann over to wing, move him back up the lineup if you want. And then you can have, you know, somebody else, you know, come in, and Logan Morrison could play center on the fourth line and all that kind of good stuff. So we shall see. But I'm with you. Yes, if they're not going to be used, you send them back down. But I still think they're going to get worked in for the final road trip. And it is just Shane that has to get sent back down, for the contract reasons and everything. Let's see. Lindsay, okay, can we tell the Kraken to throw the Blues game on Sunday so that we have a shot at bumping Vegas out of the playoffs? Help us tank plus hashtag anyone but Vegas. You can try. I don't know how receptive the team will be to that, to be perfectly honest. I just don't know. That one's gonna be an interesting one. Let's see. Lindsay, all-star break loss hurt more in my opinion. This one had exciting offensive flurries but couldn't beat Cooley. I also think the first loss against the Sharks earlier this season hurt more because the Kraken were very much in it, and those 2 points very much mattered at the time. Right now, nothing matters for the Kraken, really, right? Like, they're probably still going to even be locked into the spot they're in for the draft, so it doesn't even totally help you there. So this game was as meaningless as it could be from a standings perspective, and so that eases the sting, at least for me. Let's see. Stratic, need to fire Hack the night before opening night to guarantee a 7-game winning streak to start the season. That's funny. That is funny. Get that new coach bump right for the beginning of the year. That would be, I mean, it's ridiculous, but it is a fun thought. It is a really fun thought, actually. Let's see. So I see the conversation here between Ricky and Light regarding Maddie and the sophomore slump that Maddie's had. I mean, just to weigh in a little bit here. Yeah, I think that Maddie's sophomore slump is a little bit more than ordinary. Like, it's been a rough one. It's been a tough year for Maddie. Like, the defense has been there. We've talked about that. He's really rock solid there. The offensive stuff needs to get worked on, but I do feel like late in the season here, he's been starting to figure it out. He's been starting to go more net front, especially on the power play. Like, I feel like he broke through whatever it was that was kind of causing him problems. And again, we've talked about it in the past. Normally guys focus on very different things when they enter the league. Maddie is seemingly doing it in reverse. He wanted to play rock solid defense first, and then he's going to probably focus on, you know, he's been focusing on faceoffs second. Like, tonight he was really the only good guy on faceoffs that the Kraken had, 68.2%. He's been improving there. Normally the trajectory would be come in, establish yourself offensively, work on things like faceoffs, get better as a two-way player last. He's doing it all backwards. So it's tough for me to totally judge, because he did improve on defense and he was already playing great defense. He's established himself as one of the top like 3 or 5 defensive centers in the league somehow already. So that's really good. I you know, there was progress for him. It's not like he just stalled out or completely went backwards. It was just that the offense was non-existent, and that does need to change next year. Like, whether he wants to focus on faceoffs or continue to work on things defensively or whatever it is, he needs to focus on offense. He needs to get better offensively. He needs to find ways of generating and manufacturing goals for himself and for the Kraken. Because otherwise, it's going to be hard to justify playing in big minutes on nights like tonight, where he has 18-13 of ice time. You know, that's what, second amongst forwards on the team. If he's going to put up the offensive numbers he put up this year, that's not going to continue. So I will say that about it. There were positives. There were some strides made for him this year, but at the same time, he needs to work on the offensive one. Let's see. Viren, I mean, they haven't won a game against the Blues yet this season. I don't know that throwing the game is necessary. Oh gosh, that is possible. Mimi, hopefully Rod Brindamore is cut loose by Carolina and we grab him as a coach. That would be crazy. That would be crazy if that happened. That would be something. Let's see. Coop, I know Dylan thinks the addition of Shane is going to solve the leadership issues, the offensive issues, and the net front issues, but I'm not super confident that just him is going to make Hack's system work. I agree with you. I don't think that it's going to solve everything. I think it's a step in the right direction. And I think that it's something that the Kraken really needed. And I think having him up for this amount of time has proven that those were the things that were really a problem for this team. Before that, it was just speculation on all of our parts, right? But Shane kind of proved that, no, this team plays better when you have guys communicating, when you have guys going net front, when you have highly skilled players in the lineup, right? He proved all of those things for this team. I think it's still going to take Ron Francis adding more guys that are going to play that way next year. It's going to take guys like Matty Beniers to continue to move in the direction of playing a little bit more like Shane Wright, at least in the offensive zone. Yeah, it's great that you like to play on the perimeter. You like to see the game all in front of you. I get that. But the bottom line is, you didn't produce doing that this year. You're going to have to start going to the interior. You're going to have to start going net front. You're going to have to get comfortable in the slot, whether that means adding more weight to his frame, whether it means him understanding leverage a little bit better so he can protect himself in the puck. I don't know. I don't really care. He needs to just pick a direction and go with it. So I'm with you, Coop. Like, I don't think that it's Shane Wright is like the one solution for everything that ails the Kraken, and having him for a full season means they're a playoff team again. But I think that he's the perfect example of all the things that was wrong with the Kraken this year, and what they need to do to get better next year. But yes, it's going to take guys playing a little bit differently. It's going to take Ron Francis adding guys who are going to play that way next season for the team to have success. Otherwise, Shane Wright's going to have a lot of success next year, and the team's more or less going to stay the same. That's what I would say. Let's see. Super chat here from Patrick. Unspent beer money. Lol. Let's go crack it. It may next season be better. I can give you a cheers to that, Patrick. Appreciate that. It was good seeing you again at the watch party, by the way. And thank you. Thank you for the super chat. And yes, I mean, next season, I think next season is going to be better. I think things are going to move in the right direction. Like I said, I think, like we were just talking about, it's clear the direction that the Kraken need to go in. And I think that they very much understand that now. I think Shane Wright really like solidified that. And now they're going to have the offseason to address it. They're going to have training camp to address it. They're going to have preseason games in the fall to address it. And so I am optimistic. I'm very optimistic. Striatic, Dunn deserves an award. Vince Dunn did deserve an award. I'm with you, Ricky, right? Like, Dunn is the best player on this team. Like, he is. Like, that's just it. Like, that is definitely it. Sam, who did you vote for? Bjorkstrand, Dunn? I don't know if I'm allowed to say, actually. I don't know. Let me check in on that, and then I will get back to you. I don't want to do anything and get in trouble. I don't know why they would have an issue, but also sometimes teams get weird about that stuff. So I will let you know. I will say that I will give you this. It was definitely one of those two guys. How's that? yeah, there you go. I'll give you that, and then we'll see. We'll see from there. All right, here we go. We've got RJ joining us. How's it going, RJ?
Going all right, Dylan. I mean, how's it going there? How's the mood been in post game? Because this was a tough one, right? I mean, the Kraken put over 100 shot attempts on net, ultimately couldn't find a way to really score. But you know, it was a good fan appreciation night, and just I felt a lot of appreciation for the fans and everybody. It was a good celebration of that.
Well, that's good. That's what's important, right? I mean, you know, we were talking a little while ago, like, this game was ultimately pretty meaningless standings wise. I don't even know that it really helps them draft position wise either, dropping this one. So it was kind of just like yeah. It was nice that the Kraken had good effort. The 50 shots on goal was good. Everybody agrees with that. And then I think we're all just still a little bit in awe that Devin Cooley, of all people, did this.
I know. I can't believe it, especially in the first period, allowing that pretty soft first goal to Brian Dumoulin and then just shut the door from there on. And I mean, that's impressive stuff from him, though. I don't know if he had like family in the building tonight or not, but there are a bunch of people in Devin Cooley Jr. Sharks jerseys, so maybe they knew him somehow.
That is nice. I know his family has been really excited for at all the Sharks games and stuff. It would be cool if they had traveled and they were there for this game, because I mean, there's a lot of goalies who play a lot of NHL games and never have a night like this.
Yeah, definitely not. I mean, good for him. I do feel good for him. Real quick, want to have Scott hop on here. Scott Brandon from Cheap Seat Sports, our buddy, saying hi.
Yep.
One of the things that I've appreciated certainly from this time, and you know, it makes you think it's the last game here for a while.
Until October, probably.
Yeah, so. Until October, you know, is all the people that I get to spend time with here during the games, and Scott is always around. And great YouTube channel, Cheap Seat Sports. Check it out, everybody. If you haven't already, I'm sure there's quite a bit
probably
of overlap.
A lot of crossover, yeah.
Yeah, but anyway.
We managed to usually have a good time coming up with the obscure stats for games like this one. A couple of games up there where it's just like, oh boy. So, let's just look at the shot total and maybe they'll get a franchise record there.
Yeah, we were kind of rooting for that the whole way, just rooting for them to make history at that
point.
Looked
like it wasn't going to happen, then they put the net empty and they got the shots on goal. Didn't get any of them into it.
It's the little things.
But that's
Yeah, it's a little
thing. As a longtime Seattle fan, we're used to this from the Mariners of disappointing seasons and then fan appreciation nights that don't go the way you would want, don't feel like you're appreciated. Except for the one year that they lost the first overall pick by winning on fan appreciation night. That's a different story for a different time.
Scott the downer tonight.
Don't need to be such a downer, Scott.
Hey, you know what? They did a lot of things right this season. They just couldn't. Yeah. Couldn't get the shot percentages.
Well, thank you for joining us, Scott.
I'm sorry, I'm not as good at the therapy part of this as these two are.
Don't get your license yet, Scott.
Yes.
See you guys.
Bye, Scott. Thank you.
Oh man. Yes. No, I mean we've been talking about lots of aspects of this. Just to finish up a conversation I was having right before you joined us about Matty Beniers and kind of his development going backwards for most young centers. Byron asking, are there examples of defensive forwards developing offense later? Not a lot, but also I wouldn't say that many guys come in certainly as a young center, as a highly drafted center, and then, like I said, develop the defense first. Like, I'm really struggling to think of anybody else who came in that way. Like, I'm trying to think of even like the top two-way center guys now who have been that way for a long time. Like, Ryan O'Reilly didn't do it that way, right? Like, that was something that developed later. I really can't think of, I mean, Jordan Staal didn't even come in that way, right? Like, Jordan Staal put up a bunch of points and then figured out that that was really more so who he was for the NHL. I just think it's such a kind of crazy example that I don't know that there is someone. I mean, Sam suggesting Philip Deneau.
Yeah, maybe he's one. And yeah, it took him a while to figure out the offense, but he did eventually.
Well, and some of that was opportunity based too. So, like, Maddie's not going to have that same issue as young in his career. At least he doesn't right now. So, we'll see. But yeah, I mean, lots of good stuff to talk about. I mean, we've talked about the team awards, RJ. I mean, that's always exciting and fun to see through all this. People were asking if we were allowed to share our votes for team MVP. I don't know.
I don't see why not. I haven't been told not to. So, I mean, I can go ahead. Or did you already?
People put in some guesses, and I confirmed that it was one of two guesses.
Okay. Well, which one was it? Or do you not want to confirm which one?
I went Bjorkstrand first. I've said it all year long. I think Vince Dunn is the MVP of this team. I think he's the best player on the team, but just the fact that he missed as much time as he did, I thought opened the door for Oliver Bjorkstrand, because Bjorkstrand also, I mean, only guy to play up and down the lineup and stay consistent this year. And to me, I thought that's a really important thing, because that's a really hard thing to do in this league, is play essentially on three different lines throughout the course of the year and not really miss a beat with any of them and kind of help get other guys out of slumps. So for me, it was Oliver Bjorkstrand.
Right. And I don't have a problem with that vote. I didn't go with Bjorkstrand. I didn't go with the winner either. I went with Joey Decord, just for giving this team the best run of goaltending it's ever had. And really being a part of that turnaround that they needed midseason, and so that's why I went with him.
Yeah, no, I think that makes a lot of sense. I did have Vince Dunn second though.
So. Yeah, so did I.
And I had Joey third, and then Jared McCann won.
I had McCann third, so I contributed.
It was you.
it was me. My third place vote pushed him over the top.
I mean, that one's surprising, right? Like, Joey winning fan award and everything, like, that all makes sense to me. But
yeah,
Jared McCann, I'm surprised by that one.
Yeah, I am too. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I haven't talked to, because I talked to a few other people or discussed votes. I haven't ran into anyone yet that I've talked to that had him first. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Lindsay, Dylan rigging the votes for Portland Winterhawk Bjorkstrand failed me. Thanks. Yes, no.
They see right through you, Dylan.
I guess so. Am I that obvious? Edward, oh good, RJ got his press credential back. Lol.
I did. I got my press credential back. So thanks to Kate for that. We'll see if she comes up here. I'm sure she's writing right now, but I told her if she wants to come by and not steal my credential this time, she's welcome to.
Yes. We'll see if she can manage. Jason, what did I just watch? I did not feel appreciated at all with that performance. We haven't broken down the game too much, or at least you haven't had the opportunity to hear, RJ. I mean, was there any like kind of one or two takeaways you just kind of wanted to get out there about this one, good or bad?
Yeah, I think so. I think this game, look, the Kraken put over 100 shot attempts on net. They got a lot of good chances. I think in a lot of ways they did get goalied tonight. I mean, it seems kind of obvious looking at the score, but I really do think it is indicative of some of the larger issues that the team has had this season, namely the ability to finish, or the inability to finish, I guess, and also going cold for certain stretches of time that are really important. And I'm talking about when they took their foot off the gas in the second period, let the Sharks hang around, and they responded that way. And then in the third period, where you start off the first 5 minutes getting outshot 6-0, those are the kind of momentum areas that allow another team to steal a game like this. And I think it's something we've seen from the Kraken all season. And I think, I mean, even Hackstall agreed. He said the third period, the quality wasn't good enough of their shots. They had decent quantity, but and with the power play and with the 6-on-5, they had good chances. But overall, it just wasn't good enough. So Hackstall was even kind of willing to admit that.
Interesting. Andrew with the super chat. I had a blast coming to CPA and meeting fellow hockey nerds, but honestly pissed because of the result. Is that fair or am I being too picky? So kind of just right as we're talking about this, the super chat comes in. One, I don't think you're being too picky, right? Like you know, it's an expensive building to get into, right? Like you have a certain level of maybe expectation to go along with that. I'm actually kind of surprised to hear Hackstall talk that way about late there, RJ, because I just pulled up Money Puck. Very favorable winnow meter for the Kraken in this one, but hey, that's Kraken hockey, baby. You gotta be up over 80%. You're gonna find a way to lose. 5.26 expected goals for the Kraken here, RJ. And really, it was about the 47 minute mark. They really took off, and their shot quality pretty good according to Money Puck. It was really about 5 minutes into the second period through 5 minutes into the third period that they flatlined completely. So I'm a little surprised to hear Dave Hackstall talk that way.
Well, that's the stretch I was referring to, but also how much of that was, are you looking at 5-on-5? Or are you looking at with power plays included? Because I think you talked about.
Yeah. It's just the normal expected goals, all situations chart.
Right. So at even strength, I think you pointed that they just weren't generating enough chances in the third.
Yeah. I will also point out, there was a lot of times where there was a lot of loose pucks, RJ, in the crease, and every single time it took the worst possible bounce for the Kraken. And
definitely,
it just happens.
It's bad puck luck, and it happens. And yeah, I don't want to put too much weight on it. It's just that segment in the late second, early third, where I felt like, you know, you could have responded a little better. But otherwise, yeah, you should score more than one goal given the quality of opportunities you got. Should have scored more than three goals, probably.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, apparently you should have scored 5 and a quarter. Yeah. So, yeah, and you would. Absolutely, you would. I mean, how often is Jordan Eberle going to miss that, like, wide-open shot, right? Like, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It just told you everything you need to know. Zoe, Scott's going to have a hard time picking 3 stars for his review. Yeah.
It's going to be tough in this one, yeah. I think there were 2 Sharks in the 3 stars tonight, I know.
That's unusual.
Devin Cooley first star, how could you anything but that?
Yeah, no, like it makes sense, but yes, it's let's see. What was the turning point for Yanni, the suspension from Striatic asking? I mean Yanni did kind of, I mean, well, when was that? That feels like forever ago now.
It does, yeah. I mean, there was a certain point this season where he just wasn't playing the same. And I don't know when exactly that was. I don't remember when the suspension was, what the date was.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't, if you mean turning point for him getting like playing maybe a little worse, I would say yes, it was the turning point, because as I'm thinking about that, because that was that Edmonton game, it was our live game commentary game in January maybe, and I felt like his worst stretch of hockey was kind of right before Shane Wright was called up, or maybe a little bit before that he got out of it, but it was certainly in the back half of the year. So if that's what you mean, striatic, then yes, I would agree with you.
Yeah. I think we have another guest.
More.
Another special guest. Yes, more. We got our buddy Chuck Homaker from Circling Seattle Sports.
Dylan's favorite person in the whole world.
That's right.
Man, it's so
definitely
good to see his face.
There you go.
Well, we're tuned in.
How's it going,
Charles?
This
guest can hear you.
Oh, Dylan, it's not the result you want, but, you know, when you've got guys like Dylan and RJ around, you know, it's stomachable to an extent.
Yeah. Who'd you vote for team MVP?
Joey 1, Jared 2, Vince 3.
All right. So now if it is a problem, we won't be the only ones getting in trouble.
Trouble?
There we go. We're like, are we allowed to talk about our votes? I think so.
Oh, so you're just putting me in this. Oh,
yeah. What do you think this was for? That's why I told you to come on.
Oh, gosh. Oh, well. Yeah. No, I mean, I thought those three were kind
of reasonable. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you could interchange any of them, mm-hmm. I feel like, right? Just in terms of value to the team, you know.
Dylan had Bjorkstrand at number one, so I mean, you could tell
you
him
could
why
put
he's wrong.
Oliver in there. I mean, just considering the year that he had, you know, I don't think that's unreasonable.
No, I obviously didn't. what are you feeling like after a game like this, Chuck? Like you know 50 shots on goal for the Kraken. I mean, they did just about everything that you could. You got goalied from the, you know, most unexpected goalie possible. You know what I mean? Like everything was there. It just doesn't, you know, you just get a bunch of bad bounces and around the crease, I guess.
I mean, first of all, I don't know if you want me to call you out on this, but the quote that I got early into the first period was RJ goes, well, you're playing an ECHL level goalie, so shouldn't be too hard. And then Devin Cooley took that personal and handled things. I don't know, you know.
Why do you always do that when they're playing the Sharks, RJ? When will you learn?
I don't know, man. The thing is, it's the Sharks. I've actually seen him play the previous games. He's not that good normally. I don't know. I don't know, man.
We're going to blame RJ on this. At least in my opinion, like, it just kind of encapsulated some of like the biggest issues that at least a lot of the fans have talked about and that we've seen as media, is like, you just can't finish. And you need people who are going to be able to do that, whether that's, you know, trading some veterans, however you have it. Because, I mean, I know you guys have talked about it in your armchair GMs, so you should go to check those out, as I am a proud Patreon subscriber.
I'm not paying to say this.
Nope. I pay my own money, my $10. It's like, I just, you know, with the free agents that are going to be available, I don't know if you're going to be able to get them. So it's just going to have to be another, like, who can you jostle free via trade? Like, there are good pieces here. I think that truthfully, I mean, we've seen that in spurts throughout the year. It's just, even at your best this year, it hasn't been enough. So like tonight just kind of encapsulated some of that frustration. And I'm more disappointed than anything else. It's like, wow. All right. That was my thought, at least.
Yeah, it's very reasonable. I mean, you don't think Shane Wright's gonna kind of solve a lot of those issues next year? I mean,
he'll be a big boost. I'm really ecstatic about it. I was wondering how long he'd be around, just because, you know, you got the Calder number you thought about when he first got called up. You know, you knew he wasn't gonna burn his ELC. I think he'll be big in that regard. I still think you need more if you're gonna challenge some of these teams that are gonna be in the West. You can't just be like, okay, Shane's plugged into one of your center spots. We're going to bring in most of the crew back. I mean, if you want to be stagnant, sure. I just don't think it's enough. I think you need to do more. I want to do more, right? Yeah. I think he'll be big, though. I'm very excited to watch Shane Wright on a day-to-day basis next season. And then obviously with the playoffs coming up here for the Firebirds.
Yeah, no, everybody is super ecstatic about that. Ran into this. You'll also appreciate this, Charles. Kate scoops Shefty, scooping press passes left and right. And Lindsay,
again?
Shefty, no swiping, Shefty, no swiping. Dora reference there. So going to have to make sure that Kate gets to see this little bit of the chat at some point.
I'll pass those chats along for sure.
Yes. Striatic. Edzo at one point didn't like the Kraken's inability to elevate the puck on a goalie taking away the bottom of the net. Well, I mean, it's a fair point. There was just a lot of issues with the finishing, as there has been all season.
Or you have Jordan Eberle elevating the puck too much.
Yes, that is true. That is true. Lots of people saying hi, by the way, Charles. Lots of Charles in chat. And I mean that like Charles is, and
oh, yeah,
girls of those. Yes, many people upset with RJ as well for his jinxing powers. Everybody's very, very ecstatic about that. And then this was something we had talked about last post game. Lindsay very much on board with the Joe Pavelski signing for the Kraken.
If you can,
yeah,
1,000%. Yes, but he's not leaving. He's not leaving now. There's no way.
Probably not. Let's see. Super chat here from Andrew. Big one. Appreciate your coverage this year. I got my green card today, and it's my 12-year-old dream come to life. Felt like the Kraken gonna win. I'll be overly sentimental, but they helped with not going there. That is fantastic, Andrew. Congratulations there.
Absolutely.
That is fantastic news, and thank you for the super chat.
Yeah, congrats. Awesome to hear, Andrew.
That is really, really dope. Let's see. Zoe, this is Shane's last game, but what about Lomo, Winterton, and Garth?
I mean, they can stay up for the rest of the season without any contract considerations to worry about. I would keep them up. I mean, if you're going to play them, which Garth, I think they will. I don't know about Morrison and Winterton. Interesting comments from Hackstall on Winterton in this one, because there's a question about, you know, what did you think of his game, because he had some good chances early on.
Move and Haxel closer said, to the mic, okay, on Charles's side there. Yeah,
all right. And there we go. And so Haxel agreed that Winston had some good chances early on, but he said in the third period there were times where he got lost, so that's why he didn't play a whole lot. He kind of got lost there, so I don't know if he'll necessarily stay in the lineup next game, but if he's not going to, send him back down.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier. I don't know. It all depends on like if McCann's going to stay as your fourth line center, as, you know, 40 goal scoring fourth line center. That's, you know, great, great plan we were talking about earlier. Will not be that way next year to start. Correct.
I don't want that. I'd rather have him.
Well, you know, like, no, like, there's
back,
no way.
Easing him back in for injury, though. That's what.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's what I mean. I mean, I saw something at Morning Skate that suggested that, and RJ was kind of like, when I told him that. But I was like, that's the only reason that makes sense, right? Yeah. I'm gonna let you go. I don't wanna. I know we're getting to the hour mark here. I'm gonna let you complete your show. I think I said it last year after I almost dropped a bad word, you know, when I popped the confetti here because they had made the playoffs. Yes. But no, I mean, it's always great having the ECH folks around, whether it's Dylan when he gets to come up here and gets to say lovely words about me, or having RJ on a you know, a game-by-game basis, whether it's talking trash about Devin Cooley or sharing insights that I wouldn't have known, you know, since, you know, we've been covering hockey here. So it's always great. You know, it's disappointing that... this is the last time I'll see you here, but it'll be great to tune in to the post-game lives for the rest of this road trip that they're going to go on. We'll have exit interviews and all that, and I'll try to get RJ out to a baseball game. God bless baseball. So if I don't hear from you, Dylan, in a bit, you take care of yourself, buddy, okay? And always great to have you around. Like, I could...
Likewise, man.
no, I mean, really, it's been great. You know, it's... And we have a lot to look forward to, at least prospects-wise, like with the guys in the WHL playoffs, the OHL playoffs. Like,
yeah,
I'm more optimistic in the long term than anything, but obviously it's just disappointment with what's going on currently. Yeah. So
yep.
I'll let you finish things out. I'll give
you
this back.
And this guy's coverage does not stop. I mean, if you're a fan of any Seattle sports team, I mean any Seattle sports team, he's got you covered at Circling Seattle Sports. The work this guy puts in is just crazy, but go give him a follow there. Great coverage on, I mean, all of the Seattle sports. So thank you for joining me, Chuck. I'm sure I'll see you around. You will get me to a baseball game.
Powered by Bavarian Meats, this guy right here.
Yes.
Yes. Hey,
buddy. I'll see ya.
See ya.
No, definitely. Nobody works harder than Charles covering all the Seattle sports teams there. And it's been really cool to see how much he's grown doing this too, right? Coming in like totally green and fresh earlier last season and everything, and then how he's been able to grow. I've told him in the past many times, I think he's one of the best interviewers around when it comes talking with the athletes and everything. The way he instantly puts them at ease and he gets them to show personality and all that good stuff. He is really fantastic. So great having him on. I love this like ECHN Friends last home game of the season. We should do that more.
Yeah, I kind of put that out there to a few people. I'm like, hey, if you want to stop by, I know a lot of them are still busy writing, but figured I'd throw that out there.
Yep, definitely. Kat, brought my parents to their first game ever as an anniversary gift. Was hoping for a W for them. Yeah, there's a lot of people in that boat. Unfortunately, was not to be. Let's see. Light. So now the Kraken just need to lose out. In other news, with two wins, the Firebirds clinch the Western Conference. Go watch the Firebirds. I mean, they are on fire, RJ.
They are. They really are. And I love, too, they put on the Twins announcing that the Firebirds had won the Pacific Division. And there was a big cheer from the crowd there. So the people up here in Seattle, they support the Firebirds. And they're excited for the playoffs.
Yep. Let's see. Coop, something I'd like to ask you all, is Matty even shooting enough to put up the numbers we're wanting? He's only taking like 3.5 shots per game with 1.75 shots on goal per game. I've said it in the past, I want Matty shooting more. Like, he needs to become a volume shooter, just given the way he plays, especially if he's not going to start working towards the inside, if he's not going to go net front and he wants to stay kind of a perimeter guy, he needs to shoot way more to succeed then.
Yeah, I agree with you. He has to shoot a lot more, and it's the kind of thing I expect him to recalibrate over the offseason. I wouldn't expect too much of a big change right now, but something to look for early next year.
Yep. Definitely. Let's see, taking away Charles's press credentials faster than Kate Shefty.
Got him. Okay, good. Mine's still there. I forgot
that
to check.
That would have been fantastic. Coop asking, Dylan and RJ, have you guys heard something specific that makes you confident Hack is going to change or to be honest, create an offensive system? You all sound optimistic about keeping him and the big changes, and I want to feel the same.
Am I starting with the?
Well, if you want to, I can start. I can start because I've already talked about Backstall on here. I think the time that Shane Wright has been here, this is kind of what I said earlier, was proof of concept for what Hackstall wanted to do this year, right? The system he wanted to create, the system he implemented, and the system that did not work for the Kraken, Shane Wright proved it could work, at least with Shane Wright. So it gives them the option this year, RJ, and this is really, it kind of ends up more so on Ron Francis than even Dave Hackstall, is they're going to have a conversation about whether or not they're going to try it again, right? Run that system back, but know you're going to have Shane Wright in your top six probably. And you're going to have an off season to really, see that, look, we need to bring in guys that can go to the inside. We need guys who can go net front. And then this whole thing can maybe start to gel a little bit. And we thought we could get these guys to do it, but they just can't. So we need to go out and find guys that can. Or it's on Ron Francis to kind of go to Dave Hackstall and just be like, look, this is the group you've got. You got to find something that's going to work with the pieces you have. And so, either way, though, I think some of that, the emphasis is actually on Ron Francis.
Yeah. And we've talked about this a lot this season. Is the problem coaching or is it personnel? And I think we both kind of arrived on that, maybe coaching plays a part, but it is maybe a problem of composition. And so, I think that's going to be addressed over the offseason. And, Hackstall isn't one of those coaches that's, kind of stubborn and refuses to see the problem, I think. I think given the roster and everything that he has, there's maybe limited, what he can do about it. And the effort is another issue. But as far as, having a system and all of that, I'm confident from the start of next season that he can go and try and implement something and that he will. Whether that works out, again, the personnel might not be there. And, the effort's a question, all that stuff. But I think an attempt will be made. Of that, I am confident.
Yeah, I do like this from Jason. If your proof of concept involves losing to the Sharks, I want a new concept, which is very fair. It's very fair, Jason. And Coop, can you help me to understand what the system is? I know the 2-1 forecheck, but what's the 5v5 zone system? Not super well-versed in hockey to see anything obvious. It's not even so much a system as it is a repeated set of the same play over and over, to be perfectly honest. But this is what it is. This is the graphic that I had made back at the Winter Classic, actually, because they brought it back out of retirement for the Winter Classic. That tells you how long ago they got rid of it. But it basically involves dumping the puck in below the goal line, moving it to the other side, and then sending it to a third player who's just in the slot. Now, again, Kraken this year, not had a lot of guys playing in the slot, not had a lot of guys wanting to go net front. Shane Wright is that number three there. Right. He is the key piece that makes this work. And we saw that with, like, you know, with a couple of his goals this year, actually, during the last couple of weeks here, is that this is that kind of triangle three player setup that they've wanted to run, that they tried to run at the beginning of the year and get it going. It's not as much a system as it is just a play, RJ, but it was literally like they were spamming it every time they entered the zone. This was just all that they were starting to do. And then it would just kind of go to a basic cycle game after this.
Yeah, I mean, that is basically what they were going for. And it would just be kind of reset and kind of try and run that again and cycle it up to the point and, you know, get your chances from there. But they just did not have the bodies to get to that number three spot. They had guys who could go behind the net. They had guys who could, you know, kind of get the puck low, but nobody who could make that finish, right? And Shane mm-hmm. Wright is kind of the only guy, really, that can do that reliably and has the talent. So either you bring in more players to do that or you change the system.
Right. And Ricky saying the other Kraken Seas float outside. That's why they were so ineffective. Exactly. That is a big part of it. And that's why I was saying Maddie got to kind of find a way, whether it's he gets bigger or he gets, you know, better at leverage. One of two things needs to happen. He needs to start doing that. Coop. So it's kind of just a continuation of the 2-1-4 check, but with two extra defenders up top, basically. Like I said, it's not as much a system as it is a play, but it was every time they went in the zone, RJ, that was what they did.
Yep. I mean, it is easy to scout for too, if you're other teams.
Yes. Yes. And that was part of the problem too, right? I mean, teams cheated towards it, right? They made sure they always kept a defenseman, you know, in the front to kind of take away that guy coming down the slot, the trailer there. That's really it. And Ricky saying, or they find wingers to crash the goal. That's a little bit more in the direction I want them to go in, especially if you're not going to be able to bring in a superstar, RJ. Just bring in some big body power forward wingers that you can start sticking around a guy like Matty Beniers, who's going to drive to the front of the net, who's going to be there to screen a goalie, who's going to be there to force defensemen to kind of collapse in and play tighter and closer to home, because that will open up stuff for all of the perimeter players that the Kraken have. Right now, I talked about on the podcast yesterday, if you're a defenseman facing the Kraken, when Shane Wright's not out there, you don't have to worry about anybody being behind you ever. Right, you can play super aggressive. You can go out and defend the perimeter because nobody's going to get behind you. Right, you literally don't have to worry about half of the game that you normally have to worry about. And that's kind of unacceptable.
You can take those, just don't take my credential. You'll never guess who has arrived here.
Everybody wants to steal RJ's credential. Just over and over.
Come on, you hear the big cheer for you.
Yes.
I have some explaining to do.
Okay.
I'm here to
apply. Here, let me, so you can hear.
Thank you.
What do you have to say for yourself? Jeez.
I would like to apologize to all of ECH Nation for seemingly giving me a very convincing performance of attacking your fearless leader here. That was not my intention after the last game. I do not wear my credential on my person usually because it would clash with my outfit, and I care about these things apparently. And so I usually have it in my hand or on my wrist, and I saw a credential lying on the table. It had the same lanyard as mine. It was face down, and I grabbed it thoughtlessly, but it was RJ's. And then I ran all the way to the parking garage with it, almost drove away with it, but thankfully crisis averted. And as to the topic of what was on my sweatshirt, that's for me to know and you never to find out. Okay. Bye, guys.
Well, apology accepted.
Thank you. Oh,
thank you, Kate.
I really appreciate your acceptance of my apology, and I'm so sorry for any pain this may have caused you and everyone here.
Yes, I was going to say, RJ may have accepted it. I don't know about the rest of chat here. Lindsay, with Shefty no swiping. and like, don't apologize for nothing, Kate. He had it coming.
Ooh.
And Striatic,
I feel like I get more of those takes.
Yes, I was expecting a notes app apology from Scoops, but this is better.
I'm having
the twit longer thing.
I should do a notes apology. That is a really great idea. Thank you. Maybe we'll work on that later. I'll do it like acrostic poem style.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah.
Yeah. What should anyway? I'm having to bend over double here because RJ. Yeah,
this is set for my height. She is taller than me.
By a little bit. By a little bit.
That fusion mix, no ukulele. Oh my gosh. Chat is fantastic. Chat is fantastic.
All right. Well, anyway, I feel thank you for allowing me this airtime, this valuable airtime, to speak my piece, speak my truth. And I will try never to steal your credential again, but no promises. If it's lying there and it looks like mine, I would probably do it again.
Okay. Sounds good. I'm going to go grab it now before you leave.
You don't need it. Last home game.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. No
oh,
point.
My God.
She's convinced me that I don't need it. That's,
shuck
that's
it on the
real
ice, perfect
crime.
Ooh, eat the thing.
Yeah, eat the credential.
All right. Seriously, I've hijacked this long enough. I'm going to go steal some more stuff. Bye.
All right. Yeah. Bye, Kate. Good luck with your crime spree.
Oh, that was fantastic. That was fantastic. Coop's asking what the light show is going on back there.
Yeah, they just had the lights strobing and now they just turned them off. So I don't know what that was. No, no, you will not. Nice try.
That's awesome. Lindsay. Oh, Ann and RJ height jab, Shefty 2, Esky 0.
It's true. That is not the score, actually. If you were here for the whole game, she'd have a much bigger lead.
Okay. So this is what you're saying is she's the Sharks and you are the Kraken.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Sounds good.
No, she's the Sharks, and just this is what the Sharks do to me in my life.
Yeah, that's very true. I've been around for over half of it, and I can confirm that. Oh, good stuff. That's probably a good place to wrap this up. I mean, I'll do a quick last call here for everybody, but otherwise, RJ, I mean, it was a very roller coaster year there at CPA. But you know, it was still a good one. I felt like all things considered, just because we've had another fantastic year of growing the ECH community. And you know, being able to spend all these post games with everybody, being able to do so much of what we've been able to do because of everybody and all of the support, like it's been pretty great.
Definitely. I mean, that's what it's all about. And that's ultimately what I'm going to remember from this season, from my time coming to this building, you know, and just having a great time every single game, you know, regardless of result, because I get to come out here with the rink behind me. And I go get to hang out with everyone after the game. And that just makes it all worthwhile. And it's just awesome.
Definitely. B, next season will be better. Love is stored in the deep. I really like that. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Coop, Ron, please don't forget the paperwork to send Shane back to Coachella Valley. Yes. I mean, what time tomorrow, RJ, should we start panicking if we haven't seen the move go through?
Well, he still has another game that he could play. So
technically, yes.
Technically, yes. So even if they forget, I mean, he'll be, I guess, accounted for at morning skate in Dallas, and maybe somebody can remember then. So don't panic yet.
Yep, definitely. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. Thanks to everybody who gave Super Chance. One more time, congrats, Andrew, on that. That is fantastic news there. Really appreciate spending all this time with everybody, especially after game like tonight, which is something I feel like I've said far too often this season, but it's good. We still got some good Kraken games left to come though, and I can't wait to see everybody for those in just a little bit, and we'll see you all then.